And now, sports and other stuff. The Closers. Join the talk now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
I always like to be the toughest team. I just think that's who you are every time you step on the floor.
Just get another chance to go at it, so that's on my mind right now.
Turnovers have been a huge part, you know, of our season.
How you play defending, rebounding, playing extremely hard. Those things we have to do every night.
They're an undersized team, but they play a lot bigger than what they are.
I'm getting old.
I'm not worried about it at all. You know, he's due for a big game.
Because, you know, I do got, you know, some old knees.
Every single night, respecting everybody you play. Yeah, not going to talk about South Carolina yet. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm not going to talk about South Carolina. I'm talking about Georgia.
Yeah, it was just a special moment. It's something I never set out to do.
I asked him, where did he get the carry from? He said, I froze a defender. I said, that's what a crossover is for.
And we all working towards one common goal, and that's to bring a world championship here to the Arizona Cardinals.
He's going
to
make me be the best version of myself.
So, yeah, you got to embrace it.
Really not prepared to comment on it after we got back at 3 a.m. yesterday.
Obviously, the kids that have come here are worth over $1 billion.
Hey, welcome in Wednesday here on the Closers. Hour number one, kicking things off. Your opening montage, dueling pressers yesterday for Missouri basketball. The men and the women. The men will play tonight. The ladies will play tomorrow. Now, the men at home tonight against number 19, Auburn. So you heard from head coach Konzo Martin about being tough. Cassius Robertson, as he begins to age before our eyes and ears like yesterday. Jordan Barnett. I'm being tough. Head coach Konzo Martin back at it again. Kevin Puryear talking about Auburn. That was a team that he sunk that basket in the SEC tournament last year to beat the Auburn Tigers. So Missouri picking up the win last year. See if they can do it again tonight. Cassius Robertson continues to age. Kevin Puryear on Jordan Barnett bouncing back. Has no fear that Barnett will be back at it again tonight. And Cassius talking about old knees. Head coach Robin Pinchton, respect. And that's one thing that seems to be... You talked with the players afterward, and that's the one thing that is a common thread is we're respecting all our opponents. And then as we've seen the last couple of games, then they go out and just throttle them. We'll see if that happens tomorrow night at number 21, Georgia.
Yep.
And sticking on the Georgia as head coach Pinchton channels her best inner Bill Belichick. We're just here to focus on Georgia. Fox Sports Midwest, pair of goals last night. Sobotka and Tarasenko. Blues win over the Ottawa Senators 3-0. LeBron James, the youngest player to reach 30,000 career points. The Cavaliers Radio Network, LeBron James congratulating himself, saying, I never thought this was not in the plan. Okie dokie. Kevin Durant getting ejected again yesterday. Not dejected, but ejected for the fourth time this season. Steve Wilkes, still dream, the impossible dream. World championship to Arizona. You can dream.
Sure.
Dream away, brother.
Dream away. Yep.
Derek Carr. He's hoping that John Gruden will push him right through the Gruden grinder. Trey Flowers, WEEI, embrace the hate that is being delivered to the New England Patriots. Okay. Embrace it and then wilt, Mr. Flowers.
Yeah.
Mike Zimmer and one of the best shade tossers in college basketball, John Calipari. Players that have come to Kentucky are worth billions.
Billions.
Just very calm, cool, and collected through that entire thing. And then billions. His post games, I've enjoyed them.
Yeah, for sure.
I have enjoyed them. So for what it's worth, you may not like John Calipari. You may not like what he does as far as recruiting. You may not like all the other antics. But the one thing I have always enjoyed is it seems like he's got the player's best interest at the forefront. And he doesn't pull a whole lot of punches during his post games.
No, he does not.
So I got that. You will get a post game tomorrow. Alpha of tonight's game, Missouri will take on number 19 Auburn at the Mizzou Arena. We will, of course, make our picks and our trifectas as the hour number two winds down, because it also makes it easier for me to find.
so that we can bring it back again tomorrow and just, you know, cry on our oatmeal.
Laugh at ourselves. I mean, yeah.
Well, I'll laugh at you.
And I'll congratulate you on being right.
Absolutely. See? As it should be. Yeah. All is right in the world once again. And that is an 8 o'clock tip. And get on out to the Mizzou Arena. It is going to be listed as 15,061. We'd appreciate it if you got there and be part of that alleged sellout crowd.
Sit down and be counted.
That's right. Wait, that's right. But... And you'll want to actually stick around for after the Missouri Waltz, because this game will come down to the wire.
Correct.
Because it just will. 442-8255. And good afternoon. You're on the Closers.
I have two questions.
I may have two answers.
The first is, when do the Winter Olympics start?
In a couple of weeks.
When are you going to stop playing the commercial of the guy whose voice cracks like a 13-year-old boy?
When he turns 14. How'd I do?
Well, as long as you stop it soon, I'll be okay with that.
Yeah, that is one that we are provided with. Yeah, the Westwood one, because they are providing the coverage for it on the radio. So, yep. Nothing like hearing a radio call of a curling match.
Hey.
What?
I would call curling in a heartbeat.
I know you would, because there's beer.
Well, no, and curling. It's great.
Okay. All right. Yep. So it's a couple of weeks here, and you'll get the fortnight of Winter Olympics, and Westwood One will have that coverage. And I can't tell you when that commercial will stop previewing it. So anyway, that's what you got. So he had two questions. I had two answers.
Look at you go.
I know. I'm batting 1,000. So, yep. Hey, thanks for listening. And what?
We'll continue with our wonderful Winter Olympic coverage.
Absolutely.
Yes.
On the docket today, Gabe Yarman from PowerMizzou.com. Cougar women's basketball head coach Taylor Posale will join us. They're on a 9-game win streak, and they're currently ranked number 11. And he will join us. We'll discuss a couple of things, including why the women's team isn't included in the Cougars or the Coaches versus Cancer 3-point shot fundraiser. The men are.
Doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Hmm. And what he's putting on his wall in his office. You know, try to keep up with Bob.
Good luck with that. Best of luck with that.
You know what he could put on as well?
What?
The clippings from his last trip to the barbershop.
Okay. All right. See, I'm not even going there. That's not even on my radar.
Bill Conley from Rock M Nation will be with us in hour number two. We got a couple of national things that we're going to discuss with Bill, and then we're going to dive into Missouri, a lot of the numbers stuff for Missouri and Auburn tonight, and then Missouri the next couple of games, because this is interesting. I mean, how much fun is it right now for Missouri fans to actually be talking about tournament, the tournament, not just the SEC tournament, which is going to be held in St. Louis for the men, Nashville for the ladies, but the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm. The real deal.
Yeah.
The big dance.
The search for the large piece of cheese. No?
Well, I don't know. I've never seen cheese at the end of it, but...
Only served up in Dayton. I don't know.
I would really love to see some one shining moment with Mizzou highlights. That's kind of where I'm at.
They have been in a few of those.
They have?
Yeah. UCLA, Norfolk State.
Hey, Marcus Denman with the half court shot was in one shot.
That's in one of
those.
That's
what we're talking about.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. What we're talking about. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you got to get there to generate them. And they got a shot at it. 3-3 right now in the conference. They have 12 games remaining. It is evenly divided, 6 at home, 6 away. They have a home and home with the Kentucky Wildcats. They also have a home and home with Ole Miss, and the next three games between now and next week, when we exit out of the month of January, they will play home for number 19 Auburn, at Mississippi State, and at Alabama. They could legitimately go 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
They could just as easily go 0-3.
Yep. 50-50s.
Yep.
That Kim Pom, he knows what he's talking about.
So that's good. This is an interesting stretch of games for this Missouri Tiger basketball team. We'll talk about that and a whole lot more with our next guest from PowerMizzou.com. Gabe DeArmond will join us. We're going to talk about Missouri basketball and how you get out of that funk that they seem to be in coming out of the Texas A&M game, and also some football news, some good and one nugget not so good.
It's the Closers. Be part of the show now. 800-229-5378. News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to the Closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George. I'm with the time to talk a little bit of basketball and a little bit of football as well. As, it's making news as football for Missouri in good ways and then also not so good ways. From PowerMizzou.com, Gabe DeArmond joining us. You follow him on Twitter at Gabe DeArmond. And let's go ahead and let's start with the football. And let's get the bad news out of the way first. Caleb Pruitt has been indefinitely suspended by Barry Odom and the football staff. Violation of team rules, and that was about all it is at right now. Any additional insight on that, or is it just mum is the word going forward?
Well, it's violation of team rules, but the statement that I got from Mizzou that was then, I think, also sent out to a few other people, if you read that, it said something along the lines of, we will work with campus and university leadership to determine, you know, his eligibility in the future. That indicates this isn't just your kind of everyday run-of-the-mill suspension. You know, I mean, that is not normally included. Usually Barry Odom runs the football team, and Barry Odom's going to decide when he comes back. That indicated to me that there are more people than just Barry Odom involved in this.
So we will wait to see further details on that one as it rolls forward then.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know when, I don't know how long, but as I, you know, posted on our message board, not decided yet, but as far as I know, but it would not surprise me if we have seen the last of Caleb Pruitt playing at Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well, I guess the only good news in there was police department wasn't involved.
Yeah, to my knowledge, I mean, I did some checking around this morning when I first became aware of this, and there have not been an arrest or anything like that.
Which would lead you to believe that it would be on the academic side of things. So we'll find out more as that goes along. Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com with us here on the Closers. All right, let's start with a little rearranging. Deck chairs being moved around on the Missouri Tiger football team as A.J. Afadale takes over as wide receivers coach. Andy Hill moves over. He's the longest tenured guy on this staff, by the way. He moves over to special teams coordinator. Good move in the long run that you got a tight end now teaching your wide receivers?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, you know, these guys are all at every practice. Like Cornell Ford coached cornerbacks and then moved to running backs. They can all coach every spot. It's football. They know what's involved. You know, Missouri fans have begged for a special teams coach forever. So, you know, I'm not sure how they'll react the first time that a special teams play still goes poorly, because that was always the cry, right?
Mm-hmm.
Every time a punt was blocked or they gave up a kickoff return, well, if we just had a guy that was dedicated to coaching special teams, well, now you do, so I assume that all plays are always going to go well now on special teams.
Well, I have no doubt about that at all.
So
life is good now. Tucker McCann is going to be starting to knock him in from 45 yards and out, and every kick will be just a touchback, and life will be good for the special teams unit. Yeah, no flags either, by the way. That'll be pleasant. Drew Locke installed by Bovada finally at 1 to 25 odds for the Heisman. Is that a realistic thing for Drew?
You mean to win it?
Yeah.
I think Missouri better go win at least 9 games if that's going to happen. you know, I mean, players on teams with fewer than 9 wins, especially quarterbacks on teams with fewer than 9 wins, really don't win that thing. If he puts up great numbers and Missouri wins 9 or 10 games, yeah, he'd probably have a shot.
Gabe, looking ahead to the February 7th signing day as the second signing day of the 2017-2018 year rolls through. You know, Michael Thompson, obviously probably the biggest name on Mizzou's radar right now, making a decision. But any other dark horse candidates that you guys have unearthed that Mizzou has kind of suddenly appeared on lists for?
Well, they got about 6 spots left. I mean, there's a couple offensive linemen, one of them visiting this weekend. Xavier Delgado, Brad Davis went and saw another guy, Harrison Hall, I believe his name was. I can't remember offhand, but he's in Georgia. A couple safeties in Derek Turner and Cam Taylor, who has been previously committed. They got a couple running backs on the board. So I think at this point they're looking for a running back, a lineman, maybe a linebacker. They just offered a kid named Nick Bolton last week. and a couple defensive backs, and then Michael Thompson. And I think that would finish out the class the way they want to.
The quarterback position got somewhat crowded with the commitment earlier in the week of Lindsey Scott Jr., JUCO transfer, formerly with LSU, and then he moved on 1 year at Community College. He rolls in. Is this kind of the guy that the offensive side of the football was looking for, this type of mix of talents, or is he just another body in a crowded field?
Well, Scott is the guy that they targeted after, you know, things kind of went south with James Foster. Mm-hmm. He decommitted, I can't remember, it was mid-season. And then Scott was a guy that they really kind of set their sights on here in the last, I don't know, they offered him maybe 3 weeks ago, something mm-hmm. like that. And he's a guy that, look, if you're offering a junior college quarterback, what that tells me is you're not sure that you have the next guy on your roster. You're not sure that if Drew Locke goes down, you have anybody you're comfortable putting in the football game and taking over. So, you know, now whether Lindsey Scott becomes that guy or not remains to be seen. Spring and fall camp obviously will make that determination. But he's clearly being brought in here to compete for the backup quarterback job this year, which will then give him the inside track to being the starter in 2019 when Drew Locke is no longer here.
So not a lot of trust in Micah Wilson, Taylor Powell, Hayden Reimer, and Jack Lowry.
Well, it doesn't appear to me that they do at this point, because, again, if they did, you're probably not signing a JUCO quarterback.
Yeah.
You don't sign JUCO quarterbacks usually to come in here and sit. Now, I know Barry Odom did sign Jack Lowry in his first class, and he was certainly not expected to be the starting quarterback, but, you know, they were also a little short on bodies, obviously, at that time.
There's probably no such thing at this point still as a normal level of attrition, but just the way the youth movement went this year and with a nice, seemingly nice, you know, recruiting class shaping up, is there a level of higher attrition from this Missouri team this year?
Well, I would think, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but if they do sign 28 players, which is what we expect, there's going to have to be 10 to 12 guys that leave. Whether that is graduate transfers, transferring on their own, dismissals, whatever it might be, I'm looking at probably 10 to 12.
That'll be an interesting offseason. It's already off to an interesting start for the offseason because, you know, with Caleb Pruitt's issues. Gabe Dearman from PowerMizzou.com with us here on the Closers. You follow him again on Twitter at Gabe Dearman. We'll switch over to basketball now. This Missouri basketball team, Gabe, coming off a rather odd weekend loss at Texas A&M, and we talked about it earlier in the week, and it just feels like Missouri goes down to College Station and life just gets sucked out of this team, and then they got to figure out and what happens and goes forward. Yesterday, though, at Media Day, as I kind of reflected back on it, it just seemed like there was a funk or a fog over this team. Is this going to be a game that happens Saturday that beats them again tonight?
I don't think so. It shouldn't be because, look, that was not like a huge, stunning loss, right? Mm-hmm. A&M was a 4.5-point favorite.
Right.
Missouri has now lost 9 of 10 in College Station. Mm-hmm. A&M's a really bad matchup for Missouri. Billy Kennedy said, we're not going to let Jordan Barnett and Cassius Robertson beat us because we think we have the front line to take care of Jontay Porter, Jeremiah Tillman, and Kevin Purdue. And Billy Kennedy was 100% right. So last week, Missouri won a game against Tennessee where I just think Missouri is a good matchup against Tennessee. Like, that's a tough matchup for the Volunteers. A&M's a bad matchup for Missouri. They've got big guys, and when Jordan Barnett, Cassius Robertson, and Jontay Porter combine to go 3 for 25, there's not a high major team in the country Missouri's going to beat. I mean, they go 3 for 25, they're going to lose every game on their schedule.
Okay, let's hope that does not happen tonight. This seems like on paper, Gabe, a much better lineup. Missouri won't have to contend with a lot of length and experience down low, but they are going to have to contend with good guard play, which seems to highlight the fact that they tend to be rather free and easy with the basketball. How do you see this one working out tonight?
Well, it's going to be interesting because Auburn is not big, so you would think Porter and Tillman and Purrier can maybe have a night. But, they are very athletic, and they play up and down. I don't think that hurts Missouri. What Missouri's done lately is really slowed down and taken the air out of the ball. It's not just that they're missing shots. They've been playing very deliberately, and I think they're a little better when they play quicker, like they were for most of the first month and a half, 2 months of the season. So I think Missouri can play this way with Auburn, but Missouri's got to win this game in the paint. I mean – Auburn doesn't have a guy that on their roster over 6'8". So Porter and Tillman and Puryear need to be heavily involved. Frankly, I'd like to see Jordan Barnett play down low a little bit, you know, and try to go and take some shots inside the three-point arc every now and then, because that's where the points should be available against Auburn.
Yeah, not necessarily have his toes on the three-point line. You know, Robin Pinchton's done a great job of going a little Bill Belichick to keep her team focused on the here and now and not looking at the bigger picture. I know a lot of fans in your mailbag are asking you to go through the schedule and talk about, you know, what SEC record gets the Tigers into the tournament, that kind of thing. Is Konzo fighting that battle? Are these guys starting to look at the writing on the wall and seeing a narrow margin and tensing up a little bit? Or is this team able to just go out and play?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so. Maybe they are, but, like, look, every coach in the country fights this, you know, and it's probably a little easier for Robin Pinchton to stay focused on one game at a time, because barring a collapse, her team is in. I mean, Missouri's women are going to make the NCAA tournament. The men, I still think should. They're in a good spot, but they do have games they have to win. But, I mean, every team in America, the goal is the NCAA tournament, and these kids aren't dumb, and they know what it takes. You know, it's kind of like when the football team's 1-5 and whatever, and you're talking about bowl eligibility. Well, we just got to focus on this week. Yeah, that's all well and good, but they all understand you have to win 6 games. Like, this is, you know, they know what's out there, and they're smart kids. So, yeah, it's probably kind of out there in the future, but the bottom line is if Missouri takes care of business, they got to go 10-8. So they got to go 7-5 the rest of the way. What that basically means is go 5-1 at home and find 2 games you can win on the road. And that is certainly doable. But in this league where every game seemingly is a coin flip, I mean, it's certainly not automatic.
Purely on a selfish note, though, how fun is it to actually be talking about the NCAA tournament?
No, I think it's great. I'd love to cover the NCAA tournament again. It's a fun thing to cover, you know, that would be good. I mean, that's the goal. Like, by this time, the last 3 years, I mean, it's just been, oh, my goodness, when's this end? And, you know, people ask all the time, like, you know, do you root for him? You don't really root for him, but you want to cover something that matters. I mean, it's a lot better to cover a team that has a chance.
You mentioned that this league right now, every game seems to be just a roll of the dice as to who can and cannot pick up the victory. If you can protect your home court, Missouri's best chance of winning, is that going to be like at LSU and maybe at Vanderbilt?
I mean, I put them in order in my mailbag today. I think I went Vandy, Mississippi State, LSU, Ole Miss, Alabama, and then Kentucky.
Okay.
Or something like that. You know, and yeah, I mean, Vandy and Mississippi State, like, they have 2 games this week that are real swing games. I mean, Auburn at home, like, this is, I think they're RPI number 8. This would be Missouri's best win of the season, but at home, it's one that you'd like to win. I mean, I think Missouri's a 1.5-point favorite. And then at Starkville on Saturday, like, yeah, it's on the road, but as far as road games go, that one's relatively winnable. So by the end of next Wednesday, when they play Kentucky, I think we're going to have a pretty good idea. Look, they win the next 3 games, like, this is a team that's going to the tournament. They lose the next 3, it's kind of hard to figure out how they get there. You know, 1-2 or 2-1, okay, it's still right there in play, and you can see how it, but you're not going to know either way.
It's good to be talking tournament possibilities, so, as opposed to, wow, this thing will end with that.
Maybe they can
game.
Get to 10.
Yeah, maybe they can. Maybe they can. Gabe Yarman, PowerMizzou.com. Again, check him out on Tiger Sidelines, your pregame warm-up before tonight's game with number 19, Auburn, at the Mizzou Arena. Also, check him out at PowerMizzou.com. Read the work. It is excellent over there. He's got a great team putting things together, and follow him on Twitter at Gabe D. Yarman. Gabe, thank you for the time, man. I appreciate it. Have fun at the basketball game tonight. We'll see you there.
All right, guys. Have a good one.
Thank you very much. Gabe Yarmer from PowerMizzou.com. We'll be right back. More of the closers, including our Cougar Coaches Corner. That is next.
The closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
Hey, welcome back to the closers here alongside Jay Sparks. I'm George Young. It's time for our Cougar Coaches Corner, and we bring in from the Columbia Cougar women's basketball team, their head coach, Taylor Posell. The ladies rolling right along, picked up a couple of nice wins last week, kind of a rocking chair victories. But, Coach, congratulations on the start. Congratulations on the ranking and the win streak and all that entails. How do you as a coach look at your team and say, okay, those two wins we had last week, they don't mean nothing?
Yeah, well, you know, it's a couple things. We spent the whole week reminding our girls that at this point in the year, you want to be playing with some momentum. And so we actually treated those games last week as big momentum builders. You know, we're heading into a real tough stretch now. And for us, I think you mentioned rocking chair victories. We did everything in our power to make the girls as uncomfortable as possible, you know. And so then they remember that there's a lot of season left to go, and unfortunately, a win in the middle of January doesn't do a whole lot for you in March.
Okay, so they've got that. And you guys are going to hit the road tomorrow to take on Lindenwood Belleville and another important AMC matchup between you and them. You had mentioned starting the season that you like beyond the arc action. You like to be able to have the ladies shoot from beyond there, kind of a free-range three-point team. 33%, though, from beyond the arc. Is that where you want to be, or would you like a much higher number upon that?
Well, it's really interesting. It just goes to show, you know, what us coaches know, because I thought we were going to be out here scoring 150 a game there, George. And,
no.
And it turns out we're actually really good defensively. And so in terms of your question, no, I'd like our three-point percentage a little bit higher than 33. You know, 35 to 40 is a good mark. Okay. If you can be in the high 30s, you're doing something really, really well. And so especially behind the three-point line. And so that's something that we really strive for. We are improving. That's something that has gradually gone up. There was a little bit of stretch there where we were struggling. But it's just really funny because earlier in the year we beat Belleville. It was a huge win for us. We made four threes. So I guess if we only make four tomorrow and it means a win, I'll take it. If we need to make 18 tomorrow to win, okay, I'll take that too. And so definitely thought we might be shooting the three a little bit better. But I guess it's something that gives us something to work on at practice.
Teachable moments, Coach.
And, that's right.
You know, you guys found some adversity early on. You guys got tussles with some teams and you know, found some adversity and have since really seemed to correct and go with that. And, you know, as a coach, when you draw it up, obviously the perfect season's where everybody's headed. But if you're going to take some lumps along the way, prefer to have them early and then turn it around and get going later, or have some of those teachable moments later in the season before you get to postseason play?
Well, I think that you can make an argument for both. For this team, it was really good for us to have our backs against the wall early. You know, we're sitting there going into the Belleville game in November at 4-3. And we felt we were better than 4-3 at that point, you know, and you drop that one to Belleville. All of a sudden, you know, now you kind of wonder where it goes from there. But we picked up a huge win that time. And then we followed up with a win versus Woods. And then what happens? The next week we get spanked around by two opponents. And now we're sitting at 6-5 again with our back against the wall. And that was something that we had to really lean on our leaders and our upperclassmen in those situations, and something that I think has made us better now. You know, when you talk about the past nine wins for us, definitely one of those things where I'm not sure that we beat Lyon by 1 point earlier in the season. But now you look back and you say, well, because we lost late versus Vanguard, we were able to win versus Lyon. And so I guess I take that loss versus Vanguard to help us get the win later in the year. And so I think there is something to taking some lumps late as well, as long as you have some veterans that can right the ship, you know, because taking some lumps late could turn into a free fall. But like you said, I don't know if there's a true
secret to the success, that's for sure.
Okay, Taylor Posehl, head coach, Cougar women's basketball over Columbia College. They'll be in action tomorrow, taking on Lindenwood Belleville, currently ranked number 11, and they are currently tied with top-ranked Freed Hardeman in the AMC for that top spot. What do you say between the first and second quarter, Coach, because you are blowing it out of the water in quarter number two, outscoring the opponents by about 118 points, 400 points so far in that second quarter?
Yeah, my big thing that we need to continue to work on is we need to wake up quicker in games. Okay. We spend a lot of time talking about that at practice, and I'm still working through different lineups to figure out if it's just a magic thing in the first quarter or if it's just one of those things where our team just takes a little bit to get in the flow of the game. And so usually between the first and second quarter, I look at them and I say, are we joking right now? Because we should be up by 5 or 6, and we're losing by 2. And all the girls nod their heads, and they say, yeah, you're right, Coach. And then they come out, and they go up by 5 or 6. It's kind of interesting, but something that we have actually spent a lot of time at practice trying to figure out what we need to adjust earlier in the game. But I guess if I had to pick, I suppose going into halftime with some momentum is good for us as well.
Coach, you mentioned earlier to get started, you know, you wanted to be a three-point shooting team, and the team has surprised you by being a really good defensive team, almost 42 rebounds per game, and you're holding opponents to right at 35% shooting. Who surprised you with the defensive effort?
Well, I think the biggest surprise is, and I'm going to kind of put this on myself a little bit, is I wanted to get up and going. I wanted to run up and down the floor. But early, you know, I think I noticed right away that with this team, we did a better job of winning games and playing in games when we were more structured. I wanted to open it up, and this team needed a little bit more structure. And so by just putting a little bit more structure in offensively and then allowing the defense to work a little bit more in the half court has made a huge difference. And so kind of some of that was just the kids on our team buying in a little bit more on the defensive end. But if you look at our schedule, there was a game versus Shawnee State November the 24th, maybe, I can't remember, 23rd, 24th, where we gave up 91 points. And that was a pretty big wake-up call for our team. And since that game, we actually have defended a lot better. And I think that was kind of like we talked about a little bit earlier. When you play a game like that and you maybe get embarrassed a little bit, it maybe wakes you up. And I think that has really caused a big team change on the defensive end. I don't think they want to go through a 91, and I for sure don't want to go through a 91 point loss again, or a lot, giving up 91 again. But for me, I think the girls have really bought in on the defensive end, and now I think it's that excitement. Of our last 8 games, we've held 7 of our opponents under 50 points. And now I hear them on the bench as the team gets to 40, start to kind of get into each other a little bit in a positive way, that we're not giving up any more points. And that change has been really huge for us.
We're with Coach Taylor Posehl from Columbia College women's team. And, you know, you look at this, and we talk a lot about the team down the way there and the assist to turnover ratio and how important that is. And, you know, you guys are running for the season just a little under 1-to-1, a little heavier on the turnover side of things. Mm-hmm. But then you look at what you're causing for opponents, and not to keep harping on this defense, but, you know, a 2-to-1 turnover to assist ratio. And just how important is that for what your team does, since you're not necessarily, you know, with the high three-point percentage and getting out and running as much as you do?
Well, it's made a huge difference. And honestly, that's been probably one of our biggest calling cards all year, has been the fact that we've been forcing turnovers. You know, especially our old kids, Morgan Brandt, Ashley Marlett, they're sitting right there at the top of our steals. And those kids just do a great job of playing passing lanes, playing in gaps. And I'll tell you, I looked back to just, you know, 2 weeks ago versus Missouri Baptist. at halftime, we were up 7. Missouri Baptist was shooting 57% from the floor. And, of course, I wasn't too pleased that they were shooting 57% from the floor, but you're winning by 7 points mm-hmm. because we had caused 14 turnovers in the first half and only turned the ball over 6 times. And so, you know, it allows you a little bit more flexibility when teams are scoring the ball. If you can turn them over and get some runouts, that's been really big for us. And so I think that may be also why we're not shooting as many threes as I wanted, because we're getting more turnovers into transition stuff, which I'll take layups all day.
Yeah, it's a high percentage shot.
Mm-hmm.
Generally,
exactly.
Generally a high percentage shot.
Right.
As we wrap this up with Taylor Purcell again, they're going to be on the road tomorrow in Belleville, Illinois, taking on Lindenwood Belleville, then 3 straight home games. William Woods, Freed Hardeman, top-ranked team in the country, mm-hmm. and Williams Baptist, all in that first week of February. A couple of personal things for you. One of those is you're going to be recognized by the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame as the NAIA Women's Basketball Association Assistant Coach of the Year. Now you're a head coach, but as you look back on last year, does that kind of mean anything special to you?
Yeah, you know, it does mean a lot to me, and it's one of those things that I really go back and I thank Coach Keller for, because she put me in a position to be successful, and then our players. Yeah, when I got the award, the first time I was able to tell the team later that morning, mm-hmm. that was my message to them, is I don't win this award unless you guys are really good. And so, to me, it's really kind of a blessing to coach a team like this, where you kind of put yourself in an award, in a situation like that. You know, you don't. Unfortunately, they don't really recognize coaches too often with losing records, and so that's something that I think you know, you feel pretty good about. But it is nice, obviously, to get recognized. But one of those things that. Maybe looks a little better hanging on my wall than anything, but I was giving a few people a hard time that this is good, because my wall looks very bare compared to Coach Burchard's wall, and so I got to get going on some of these awards.
Yeah, well, you know what? If you're a losing coach, you do not have a wall to hang set of awards on.
That's the other thing.
You do have that. Speaking of Coach Burchard, the guys are going to be involved in the 3-point challenge, Coaches versus Cancer.
Yep.
Do you march down to his office and say, "Hey, we got a good 3-pointing women's team. When can we be included in that?"
Well, that's my thing that I'm going to have to bring up to the WBCA and mm-hmm. something we need to get going, because their men's association gets that rolling, and now we do our play for K in February. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I think raising money, making threes, maybe we'd shoot a few more and maybe a little higher percentage if I told the kids, like, hey, every time you make a three, we're raising money. Maybe we'll continue to shoot 18 for 30 from three like we did this past Saturday.
Okay, well, that would be good. That would
yeah.
be good. All right. Coach, thank you for the time, sir. Congratulations on the award for the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame, and safe travels to you as you head to Belleville, Illinois tomorrow. I'm back.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate it, and thanks for the time today.
Hey, you are more than welcome. That is head coach Taylor Purcell of the 11th-ranked Cougar women. Again, on the road tomorrow, then back at home the first week of February for 3 straight home games.
The Closers. On News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And welcome back to The Closers here. Going to wrap up hour number one. Bill Conley will join us in hour number two for a couple of segments. Blues win last night, 3-0 on the home ice of Scott Trade Center. That was blessedly nice.
And Carter Hutton looked great.
Yeah. And he didn't look bad the first in the loss against Arizona. It was the defense that deserted him.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
So they did. They played a lot better last night. Also, SEC action last night. Vanderbilt was down big early to number 22 Tennessee and darn near pulled that thing out at Rocky Top. But Tennessee hangs on 67-62. Arkansas was on the road and they worked double overtime. They beat Georgia 80-77. Georgia has lost 4 of their last 5 games in SEC play.
Oof, rough.
Kind of.
How many has Kansas lost in a row?
One in a row.
That's a streak it comes to Kansas.
That is a streak, and that's a fun one to talk about. Shall we dive into that one? Trey Young actually found some teammates to help him make baskets last night. He had 9 buckets last night, 26 points, and had a good night last night as Oklahoma beat KU. Oh,
yes.
Darn.
Yes.
Alabama falls last night. 78-66, LSU wins by 12 over Texas A&M, and Kentucky avoids a three-game losing streak as they picked up the win last night at Rupp Arena, beating Mississippi State 78-65. Let's see this schedule here. I think something's coming up here very important.
What's that?
Oh, yes. 1 week from Saturday.
Oh.
The Missouri Tigers will be hosting the Kentucky Wildcats.
Oh.
On CBS.
Oh.
Missouri used to be on CBS a lot.
Yeah.
And then they weren't.
Oh. Why weren't they?
Well, you could maybe have found them in addition of Lost.
Hmm.
Or Missing or something like that. But they'll be back on it again.
The Closers on News Talk 1240 KLIK and News Talk 1400 KFRU.